Here we go.
Here it is.
Do you remember this? We have this every week. I'm a bit bored of it now.
Let's wait for the chorus.
Yeah, it's annoying, isn't it? Get a bit of whatever. Yeah, fade it out. Let's play DJs. I'm just going to fade that out. Off it goes. Yeah, bye. Stop it. Stop the music. She's taking the piss now. Daisy's taking the piss.
Yes, she is.
Daisy's taking the piss.
Yeah,
yeah. Where's your holiday? Hello, Judith. You're in bloody Cornwall, aren't you?
Well, I am. It's a rainy day today.
That
aquarium's going to be stuffed full of people.
Are you going to go and see the stingrays and the? I do like an aquarium up to a point,
which is
and
what?
Then. Well, I always forget that I have a phobia about jellyfish.
Well,
and I turn a corner and I see a jellyfish. And first impressions, you think it's a beautiful thing. And then I start imagining that I'm swallowing one or, you know, the small ones or whatever.
Oh, is that what you get? You're swallowing them?
Yeah. And then I have a flashback to a dead one on a beach when I was about 11. And then the whole thing, I'm a bit sweaty. And anyway, a bit of a problem. But a good aquarium...
It's
worth
it.
Yeah. A poor, shitty aquarium with like cracked glass and miserable looking monkfish and lots of brown fish.
Dirty windows
and sad looking fish.
And there
by
are
themselves.
Such places.
Yeah, oh, there are. There genuinely are.
Oh,
anyway,
there really are.
So raining. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm surprised because it's a glorious day in London.
Is it? Oh, you're just sod.
I'm sorry, but I think it's going off, Judith. Don't worry. I think it's going to be
going
nice
off.
For the morning.
Yes.
It's going to go. It'll be off by lunchtime.
It's a big change today because yesterday was gorgeous.
Oh,
and
right.
And today it's all a bit shitty.
Well,
You can't have everything. No, I'm a very lucky girl. But listen, I had to tear myself away to come and do this because it is 9:30 in the morning, which is quite
early. It's swimming time, isn't it?
I've done my swimming. In the harbour. No, I've had to. Jenny, I bet you cannot guess what I have just been watching on the television, and I almost had to ring you two and say, look, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to come a bit later. I'm enjoying it so much.
Guess what I was watching? Well, I'm wondering whether it must be an Olympic thing.
It's the only Olympic event that I've actually stopped everything I've been doing and said, oh my God, I love this. Guess what it is?
Synchronized swimming.
Yes! Have you seen it? It's artistic swimming.
I know they've changed the name. I mean, you know, that's which makes me laugh a lot because what are the differences? What are they now allowed to do that they weren't allowed to do before with synchronised swimming?
Do
they get out of the pool? Do they get out of the pool and do some sort of...
No, of course
they don't. I don't know, some handstands on the side.
Have you not been watching it? Have you watched it?
I haven't watched the... I've watched some Olympics, but not much. And I've missed so far the artistic swimming.
This is for people who are... quite bored by the whole thing of the Olympics. This is something else. And do you know what? I've loved it. It's unbelievably difficult, I think.
Yeah,
somebody would say it's the most difficult thing. But they're like little twins. They're like Tressy doll twins. And the Chinese have just been doing it. And they wear kind of sparkly makeup. And you know in the ice skating, where they do that, artistic interpretation. So they do all kind of bits on the side first that are a bit like... You know, a bit like ballet, and then in they go.
It's
amazing. I think actually, you and I, it may be something that you and I could try, artistic swimming. Do you reckon?
Yeah.
As a double act.
Well, I'm just wondering. I mean, the fact is that neither of us have got any pubic hair left, so we don't have to worry about
that. We'd be fine on that score.
Yeah, yeah. You would have to leave your flippers at home, Judith, because I think, you know, using your flippers in artistic swimming would kind of spoil the line somewhat.
Just a bit.
What are we doing with our hair, though? Are we scraping it back? Are we gelling it back?
We're bunning up.
I haven't really got enough hair to bun up.
You'll have to get one of those artificial things
that
they sell in those funny little ballet shops.
Okay,
I'll fake bun it. Yes,
and are
we
talking
big earrings?
I'm not sure. You see, I'm thinking that might spoil our aerodynamism.
Oh, good word.
I struggled. You know, I saw it coming in my head and I thought, fuck, how am I going to get that out?
You took a run.
But don't we have to keep a clean line?
Do you know what? I think the trick might be is to do a lot of splashy work.
Yeah, distraction.
A lot of splashy work.
Are they allowed to do splashy work? Are any of the competitors actually doing splashy work?
A little bit of splashy work, but...
Is that how it's described, Judith, by the Olympic commentators? Are they saying, and here they are, here are our two Czechoslovakian world winners, our world record holders, and they're going to start with some splashy work. Here they go. Yes, that's right. They're splashing each other in the... Oh, what fun they're having.
I know. Well, they have splashy themes. You know what I mean? They do all streamlined and all of that business. And then they have a splashy little interlude. Splashy interlude, which I think we could excel at. I think we'd be quite good at that.
Is there any dive bombing in from the side?
No, of course.
Well, I think we should do synchronised dive bombing in from the side and see how much water displacement there is.
So that's the other, that we'd do well on that.
We'd do well on water displacement. We'd win the gold for displacement.
They could have a little, line, couldn't they? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Where all the Chinese were, little teeny bits of water displacement. And then when we went in, bucket be like loads. Half a metre would go
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, then, well, that's for, what was, what we've got 4 years to train.
Is it seven? I thought it's more than four, isn't it?
I thought it's every 4 years, the Olympics.
Is it? I thought it was...
Yes, well, yes, I think so, because you remember we had it in 2012. Do you remember when Great Britain,
yes,
for a moment, that summer, we could put the great back into Britain?
Couldn't we?
There was that feeling of pride. You didn't have to do anything, but you just felt a feeling of pride.
And I can remember the absolute moment when that happened for me. And it was the moment with that film.
What were you in, Judith? What were you competing in? Was it your moment? Were you long jumping? Go on, what was it?
It wasn't high jumping, that's for sure. No, the moment when that pride happened to me, because we're quite, like everybody else, do you remember in the run-up, everyone was saying,
it's going to be shit, it's going to be shit, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll make a buck up of it.
Yeah.
And
it's going to be like
Craig.
A school games festival, isn't it? That's what we thought it was going to be like.
Exactly.
School games day, yeah.
And then Daniel Craig, do you remember that? Along the corridor in Buckingham Palace. Do you remember? I'm enjoying reliving it. And he opened the door, and then there was this figure, wasn't there, sitting at a desk. Do you remember? And you thought, that woman that does all the kind of look-alikes, whatever her name is. And she turned round, and you thought, bloody
You thought, fuck me, it's the Queen.
Exactly, exactly.
And then she jumped out the helicopter. She was remarkable.
She was gay, wasn't she?
Life has never been as good since. It's been gradually going downhill since that moment. It really has. Anyway, so how's your mood, Judith? I hope I haven't brought you down with that.
How's my mood? My mood's quite good despite the rain this morning, because I've got all the family here, you know. Which is very lovely. There's six of us here. It's great, but we're just getting... It's four nights in, and we're just getting to that stage now. You know what I mean? It's a very small kitchen. Like, you know, you wanted a takeaway tonight. Well, I don't think we should, you know, it's a little bit...
Oh, power struggles in the kitchen. Yes, yes. So, and have you been cooking for all six, Judith? I mean, I think here, I can...
Yes.
Okay, I can sense there have been some control issues
in the
kitchen. And I think it might be you. And I think what you did before you came away was you probably... Oh, I'm not accusing you of doing a spreadsheet, because I'm not sure either you or I are capable.
No, we're not.
But I think in your notebook, you probably did a meal planner. Did you do a meal planner for the week? Of course you did. Because you don't want to go shopping. The thing about your place in Cornwall, there's not a supermarket next door. You have to be quite efficient with your shop. And you'd have enjoyed that. You'd have thought, how many meals can I get out of a bag of pasta? Okay, there are six of us. Some meals are going to be simple. I'm going to do a pasta pesto night one night because I don't want to cook every night. I'm not cooking every night. But I think it'd be nice to have a joint.
The shocking thing is, Jenny, because it was also, there was the Tesco shop as well, wasn't there? So there was not only the meal planning, but there was the Tesco delivery shop.
Delivery to your door. Yes, so you had to order online. Yes.
Yeah. And then you had to book all the restaurants because, my God, they're busy here at the moment.
Yes,
you're absolutely right. Now, the shocking thing is, Jenny, how much of my time and space in my head last week, this very thing occupied. Yeah. You've really got the measure of me. I know. It's
well,
pretty
even
much all I did all last
would,
week.
Would give it a thought. Even I, and I'm not that sort of practical or domesticated, but even I on a holiday would think, I don't want to go out every night. I like lolling about the flat in the evening as the sun sets. over the yes. you know, because you've got your view and everything. You don't want to go out every night,
no,
do you?
You don't.
No.
But you know what, DJ? The other thing that's a new addition to the balcony, Jenny.
Well,
I shall tell you what it is.
Well, you can't. I haven't got room for a statue. I hope you haven't got. I don't know.
Well, you know, Jeff liked the binoculars. You know, he yes. rather liked the binoculars. So, Aaron had, when he was little, he had a sort of stargazing telescope thing that he was.
He doesn't strike me as the type.
Well, he hasn't used it for years.
Okay.
And it was sitting up in his mum's loft. Anyway, he brought it down. So we could
not with you. They shouldn't allow you. You should not be allowed, Judith, to put your eye to a telescope because
have you ever done it?
I have snooping tendencies, Judith. You have exactly. snooping tendencies. We yeah, should not be allowed anywhere near a telescope because, what have you seen? Because you're not interested in... I know you like a bit of wildlife, but I know stargazing would start to bore the tits off you.
Oh,
and all
God.
Of a sudden, that telescope would swing to the nearest domestic scenario. What can I see through that
That's
lit
exactly
window?
What's okay. happened. Well, I started with boats. You know, you start with boats, don't you? You think, oh, look at that, you know, Yeah, all three of them on there. Look at that. What's happening? I mean, it's the level of microscopic, whatever that thing is, whatever that word.
Yeah.
You know, that it enlarges it is unbelievable, right? But you're absolutely right. Started with the boats and then I drifted over to the right towards Khor San to the beach. Oh, look, there's a queue for the ferry. Oh, look at that. Look, this is all quite busy still, isn't it? Come and have a look. It's all that. And then, very soon, you're into the windows.
Yeah, of course you are. Of course you are. Yeah, it's not your fault, Judith. It's a natural addiction. But this sounds like a really good telescope. Because in my head, I thought it was a sort of, you know, age 7 to 9 shitty little telescope.
Oh, did you? No. Yeah. No,
talking,
I think this is.
Has it got its own legs?
Oh, God, yes, it's got legs. And you have to stand to do it. And that is slightly a problem because keeping still, do you know what I mean? You can't, because the level of what is
accuracy.
That word? Yes.
Magnitude. Magnitude.
Yeah, whatever that word is such that, yes, a little, you have to really keep still. Yeah. and then you just move it slightly. But yeah, through windows, I kid you not. And Khor San is, you know, it's a 20-minute walk, no, 30-minute walk away, isn't
Judith,
it?
I've never done the walk. I'd say for me, it's probably an hour with sit down. You know, you striding across the headland. You say you can do it in 30 minutes. It's fucking miles away. I'm sorry. I mean, Jeff and I never, ever did it without the car. Ever. Oh. I wouldn't have dreamt of doing it without getting in a car.
Yes, I've forgotten about you like that. So, yes, it's a long way away, isn't it?
Yes.
And so, yeah, but honestly, I saw somebody doing the washing up in the window the other day.
I'm not sure that's the most exciting thing you could have caught sight of. This is the trouble. You could actually accidentally see people, you know, having the sex, doing the sex.
Well, having the sex, remember? Like the young people, having the sex. Well, yes, but also being with somebody they shouldn't
be like
with or something like
It'd be
that.
Like porn, Judith.
Oh, I can see. Yeah, I could really see that this is a dangerous, slippery slope. And, you know, it's... But isn't that a weird feeling? And it's not one that I've particularly had before. It's not unpleasant.
The voyeurism. The voyeurism.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, I see.
You are not seen. And they don't know you can see them. It is.
It's called snooping. It's actually quite ugly, Judith. It's an ugly habit. Is Aaron going to leave that telescope there? Oh, my God.
No, I think we'll put it in the junk room. You know what I mean?
Well, I know where the key to that is. So I have a horrible feeling that if I ever go and stay there again and it's hidden away, I'm going to get it out because I want to see. If you've seen the woman washing up, then I want to see the woman washing up.
The annoying thing is we can't see the pub. That is quite annoying because there's something in the way. But it's
I think that's no bad thing. It's no bad thing to be quite honest, Judith. Okay, how long are you staying? Or are the children? I say the children,
the young adults.
Are they sort of itching to go now? Are they saying, oh, actually, we might go home on Friday rather than Saturday?
It isn't that bad. It isn't that bad.
Oh, well done.
Yes, because we're only here for another couple of nights. But it'll be, you know, they'll be off early. Is all I can say.
Okay.
They'll be off.
Okay.
How are you, anyway?
Well, I want to know what meals you've had so far. I'm intrigued by your meal plan and how much you've been thwarted. And how much? And were you thinking when you're having the meal plan, well, if I get a big chicken, I can have enough left over for a curry? Were you thinking like that?
That's also along those sort of lines.
Okay,
Jamie.
Okay.
Yes,
what
absolutely.
Did you have last
well,
night?
I came. Oh, well, we ate out last night because there was a male voice choir.
Oh, that sounds fucking awful. Oh,
yes,
no.
You'd have hated it. You'd
I'd
have
really
it.
Hated it.
Yes, you would. You'd have been a nightmare to be with, actually.
Oh,
I'm very pleased you weren't with me.
Oh, God.
You'd been
what were they singing? Oh, dear Jesus
well,
Christ.
They were singing. They
were they singing.
Singing.
No, were they singing songs from the shows?
Worse. They were singing medleys of no. You know, what's the
my vagina's
sake,
completely
you know.
Disappeared.
Freddie Mercury, you know, you know, what are they called? Bohemian Rhapsody. They were doing kind of medleys of that. You see, I wanted sea shanties and I wanted you know,
I don't think
Welsh
it's a request show. No, you didn't want Welsh. You can't go demanding. You're not in Wales. You're in Cornwall. You wanted shanties.
I wanted shanties.
Okay,
did want
were
shanty.
They wearing fishermen's? Because this is a completely different thing. If I'm, because I can get a little bit of the horn going for the shanty. Okay. If we, because I, you know, there are a lot of very handsome shanty type blokes in Cornwall
oh, yes.
with that deep
oh, yes.
tan, you know, the
yes.
shanty tan.
Yeah. No, these were very much the.
And
senior.
I want to. They weren't in dinner jackets, were they?
No, they were. They were all in matching
fine.
Maroon polo tops.
Oh no, that's
with
awful.
A kind
that's
of
awful.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
is
with
absolutely
a logo
disgraceful.
Thing.
No, that's all that is. I'd have had to turn my back. I might have listened for 2 or 3 minutes, but I couldn't have looked at a lot of men in maroon polo shirts. I genuinely couldn't. You know, because that's just unpalatable. And I'm really sorry if anybody's listening that doesn't agree. But you're very welcome to write in and tell me off. I had a slightly different image in my head of about 6 blokes ranging from sort of 20s to 50s. And all with beards and sort of,
you know,
those tatty jumpers
yes.
and,
yes.
and sort of things with holes
yes.
and very, very
yes.
old clothes.
Yes.
But still smelling nice. And
yes.
Yeah,
yeah,
that
yeah.
kind
no,
of
No, I'd have been in the fan club if they were like that. I must have
been
like
you.
I would have been.
You'd have taken the magnifying thing. What was the telescope? Just for an even closer look. But there we go.
So, we've had
a very exciting time.
We have. So lots of nice meals have been had. Ratatouille was brought ready. You know what I mean? Had the meal
yes.
ready when we arrived.
What did you put the ratatouille with?
Some plain chicken. I thought, well, I don't want to be mucking about, but all ready to go in the oven. You know, disposable
baked potatoes.
Boiled potatoes from
oh,
the garden.
No.
Yes,
oh,
yes,
okay. Little new potatoes.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
and
that sounds very
of
nice.
Mint, sprig of mint in the plastic bag. Oh, very organised, very organised. And then I did my Cleftico.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and already marinated. Yes, there's been a lot of that,
Did you bring it in a pan, already marinated?
No, I brought the marinade separately. And I bought, but of course, it, you know, I did have to travel down in the heat. But we were all right. I had a cool box.
Cooked through, very slowly cooked through, and
delicious.
shredded.
Delicious.
Mm, yeah.
Delicious.
And did you have that with a pita bread?
No, with boiled potatoes.
Oh, I'm
my,
sick of the boiled
my...
potatoes now. I'm going to strike those off the list.
Oh,
2 days
yes.
of boiled potatoes. okay, right. Well, do you not ever do them as a roast, a little mini roast potato done out of a new potato?
You know, I like that.
I do. Yes, I just slather them with a bit of oil. And I do that. I do do that with a bit of sea salt, crusty sea salt.
Or some rosemary as well, a bit of rosemary. Yeah.
I don't know why I'm talking. Last night we had a Nando's.
Oh, I like a Nando's.
Oh,
nothing
I know.
Wrong with a Nando's.
Well, Phoebe came over because, of course, I'm home alone now because Jeff's gone.
Oh, is he gone?
He's gone. Yes, he's gone.
Selling those bits of art. Selling his art.
He's gone to market, basically.
Oh.
So anyway, Phoebe came over last night and we all did it was as a family, we sat around the kitchen table and we all did a lateral flow test. So that was fun. Phoebe's still gagging. And I don't even gag anymore.
I am too. Do you not? Oh,
no,
I do.
No.
My shoulders go. You know that thing with where your shoulders go with
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. No, I don't do that anymore. But I think it might be a bit easier for me because I haven't got tonsils. So I've got quite a lot of area down there. Anyway, so we all did that and we're all negative so we could all relax. And have a Nando's together and watch Love Island. So
very nice.
That was classy. So,
yeah.
So now Jeff has gone. Yes, he's gone. It's so funny to see. because he packed for himself, obviously, you know, and he is so much neater than me. And he's so,
is he?
Oh, so much. I mean, honestly, he could have been going to stay at Brideshead. He had this suitcase and all his shirts were in the cellophane things from the dry cleaners.
No.
Yes. Yes. He had, you know, four shirts all in their plastic bags.
Wow.
And on top of that, he had a clothes brush. And it was so neat. There wasn't a thing out of place. Honestly, it wasn't, you know, I open a suitcase and chuck a load of stuff. You know, I try and be a bit neater, but it was absolutely immaculate.
Gosh.
It looked like a butler had done it for him, honestly.
Wow.
So, anal. And then.
How are you married to this man? How do you? I mean, you know, having been to your house, Jenny, I've got to say that I'm kind of surprised that you said it works, really.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
Well, he is genuinely neater than I am, except his study is a mess. But when it comes to clothes, he's quite fastidious if he's going, you know.
Yes.
If he's doing an occasion, he'll try and do it sort of, you know, I don't know. It's just funny about
things
like that.
No, he's very well turned out.
Occasionally,
he is.
Yeah. So anyway, he's gone to do Cheltenham Racecourse, putting up a big series of marquees where it's called, I think it's called Fresh. Okay, the festival's called Fresh. Which is annoying slightly because
it's a funny name.
Isn't it
an
art? Yes, I know.
Sounds like it's a farmer's market.
Doesn't it just? Doesn't it
stupid
sound like you're going to go and get a pot of yogurt? Yes,
ridiculous.
I know. Infuriating. So, but unfortunately, I don't think he's got enough sway to tell them to change it at this juncture. But it's 50 plus art galleries. It says established and respected art galleries.
Oh.
And he's got in on an art gallery that's in East Dulwich. And 1585A Gallery, and they are sharing the space with 20th Century Prince, which is him.
Mm.
And I think he's got about 20 pieces. I hope he doesn't come back with any of them. So if you are in that Cheltenham area, and it is this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so, you know, get down there. There's plenty of parking, you see. It's one of those places where plenty of parking. That's what you want.
If
you
goes a long way, that does, you know.
Doesn't it?
He'll have a ball.
Buy art. Yes, I know. He's staying
he'll
in a really posh hotel, Judy.
Is he now?
Well, of course he is. Because, you know me, I'd go all mean and I'd go all... I better do a sort of, you know, holiday
Airbnb. Yes, take some Tupperware.
Yeah, just be a bit mean because I haven't earned any money. I'm becoming very boring about money because I've really missed not earning money. So I'll tell you last night. I was ferreting in my wardrobe. And it's not that big. I don't have much. I was ferreting the wardrobe because Phoebe was going back in an Uber and she wanted a cardigan. And I thought, I'll never see this cardigan again. So I was trying to find a shit cardigan.
And, yes, you're right, probably.
And as I was ferreting, this Marimekko tunic fell out of the back of my wardrobe that I had not seen for 2 years.
Oh, I mean, I don't know the designer. Is that a really posh designer? Probably
no,
is.
Not very posh. Marimekko is Finnish and a bit like she or they. I don't know who's exactly behind Marimekko, but you'd get a lot of homeware is Marimekko. So tablecloths, napkins, that sort of thing. So they branch out. So there's a sort of, there's a clothes bit of it, which, you know, can be quite expensive. Although they do partnerships sometimes with Uniqlo. And those sell out very quickly. And anyway, when I was in Melbourne last, in 2017, I'd finished my run of shows. And Jeff said to me, you know, you've really worked hard. You should treat yourself to something. And we were in this shopping centre back in the day, pre-COVID. I had a bit of money in my pocket. And I bought this tunic. And I think it cost about 200 and something pounds. You know, it was a piece that...
A treat.
A treat piece. Yeah. A proper treat piece. And I think, you know, the last couple of years because of... I just haven't seen it or worn it and it fell out. And I just thought, isn't that nice? Isn't it nice? And I have got occasion to wear it, which I'll get onto later. But anyway...
Oh, does it still fit, Jenny?
Well, yes, fortunately, the clue is in the word tunic, Judith.
Just as well.
It's a medium tunic, and I'm still, you know, still quite baggy. to be quite honest with you. Sorry, Judith. Sorry to upset
win,
you.
Win-win. No, I was just worried that there was going to be a rather terrible
there wasn't. Well, I did. I did, sort of, because I'd had two glasses of wine. I thought, well, now's the time to try it on because, you know, I've got a bit of bravado. And so I tried. Yeah, well, my worst thing at the moment is see, Phoebe was there. She was going, Jesus Christ, I've got a terrible rash. What's happened is that underneath my sweaty breasts, my fake tan has started to disintegrate in this kind of, imagine a kind of a chest of drawers where the kind of varnish is coming off and it's all mottled like that. Terrible. Looks terrible.
But I think the underbreast area, particularly for the large breasted woman like me, I think it becomes a real...
It's a problem area for some people, Jenny.
It's a problem area, yeah. I mean, I'm quite fat at the moment, so there's a lot of talking.
No, you're not.
There's a lot of talking, and, you know, with the underwire thing digs in.
Yes, you have to underwire. I don't underwire, yes.
Oh, and then some, you know, overnight, when you get a kind of itching phase on, do you get the itching? Like,
no,
really,
because, I don't do an underwire, and I'm bra-free from 7 o'clock.
Oh, yes, I've forgotten about your little teeny little bras. Since I've looked at that photograph of me in Latitude post throwing up in the washing up bowl, not only have I got my dress on inside out. And
with some sick on it.
I haven't, the worst
rock and
thing
roll,
is,
Judith, rock and roll.
I haven't got a bra on. My God, these days they are literally on my lap.
You weren't capable of putting a bra on at that point. There was, you know, there was no way that you'd have been able to reach your arms around the back.
I really wouldn't. But yes, it is a problem area. How do we get on to that?
I don't know.
Oh, your rash.
Yeah, my rash. And it's not a rash. It's just a decaying fake tan. I've been up to see June. I don't know whether I was there last week, but I don't know whether I mentioned it on the podcast. It was difficult. I mean, let's face it, it's not the easiest thing in the world. And I did 4 or 5 nights. I saw her quite a lot. I saw her every day.
Well, that's good.
And Phoebe came up managed to see her a couple of times as well. And I managed to take her 95-year-old sister in, Eileen. And I made her this photograph album, Judith. You'd have been very proud of me. Because I did it at my mum's flat because there's a lot of old photos sort of that haven't been stuck down. And I think it's because my dad took a lot of photos because we lived abroad. For some reason, they've all ended back at my mother's. Lots and lots of spare photos. So I bought a photo album off the internet. What I did was I basically found photographs of her father and her mother and, you know, her when she was young. And I did these great big captions because her eyesight's poor.
And sticky, sticky white labels. You mean? How did
No. I did it with a Sharpie just on the surface of the sticky paper. Okay. It worked. Yes, that
lovely,
worked.
Lovely.
So, you know, big capital. This is your father. You know, this is Tommy.
Did you?
And then this is Jenny, your mother, because I was named after her. Yes. You know, she made great meat and potato pies. It was a bit like a geriatric Janet and John book. This is you when you were pregnant with Sarah. Here I am, your favourite child. All this kind of thing. So, and she really did. She loved it, Judith. She loved it. And then I took my 95-year-old aunt to see June. You know, June. She honestly, her face lit up when she saw her sister. I've never seen anything like it.
Really?
Oh, the deep, deep love. It's appalling. You know, it's kind of just heartbreaking. Because they just sort of grin at each other, just hold each other's hands and grin. And my aunt can't see anything, and my mother's as mad as a snake. But she was really trying to keep it together for Eileen. I could, you know, she'd had her hair done. She was wearing a really lovely shirt that I'd bought her a couple of years ago from a linen shirt with a flower print on it. And, you know, she was all nicely... Nicely presented.
Did you take some photos? I did take one,
but it wasn't great, unfortunately. Right. Otherwise, I'd have put it up, but my mother does look sort of quite mad. Anyway, because she is. And she said to Eileen at one point, oh, Jenny made me... I've got this photograph album, Eileen, and it is a lovely photograph album. You know, the best thing about it, it hasn't got very many photographs. Because I don't think she wants to be overwhelmed at the moment. And it's probably got about 25 photographs in and with big captions, and that's enough.
Like Janet and John books.
Like
that's
exactly,
Janet
and
just
John.
Just like
yeah.
that, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, that's such a beautiful thing to do, Jenny.
It was a nice thing. It was a nice thing of me to do. Can I just mention something else, Judith? Which was a tricky situation for me. And I just had to shut up and put up in the end because the rules have changed. I took this train up to see June. And it's a train that goes from London, Euston, up to Glasgow. Glasgow! And you know that the rules are different in England and Scotland.
Oh, yeah.
So this train crosses the border into Scotland where the rules change.
I know where we're going with this. I know where we're going with this.
Well, you know, so I get on the train and half the carriage is masked and the other half
isn't. Is that all?
Yeah.
You're joking.
So, you know, I feel my dander rise and I look at the Avanti rules and regulations, and basically it says to protect yourselves and other customers and out of respect, please wear a mask, but it doesn't say you have to. And then it says when we are in Wales and Scotland, you have to, masks are mandatory. And I just thought, I can't say anything to anybody on here who isn't wearing a mask. I just have to build a wall of luggage around me. I put, you know, I sort of stood my suitcase on one end. So it was the size of a small child on the seat next to me. Yeah. And then just piled everything on top, coats and everything, and made myself a little cave.
Yeah, a little shelter. A shelter.
Yes.
It's it. I mean, I feel now completely odd going into a building without a mask. It's like, it's like kind of having unprotected sex or something, isn't it? It just feels really... it feels really odd.
Yeah. Well, I think you've had quite a lot of unprotected sex in your life, Judith,
true,
considering you've been married for a long time. But yeah. I know what you mean, considering it's a slightly dangerous situation.
Yes.
Then you protect yourself, don't you?
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. So, that is maddening.
It's very strange, because I did a telly on Sunday, which I was very grateful for.
What did you do? I wanted to know.
I'm not allowed to tell you. It's not.
No.
Not allowed to tell you.
It's a secret.
It's not that big a secret, but it was a quiz show. I was being paid. I was so relieved to get the, you know, fat job. But what was interesting about this job was they said, you're doing the show on Sunday. We will be sending a lab technician to your house on Saturday morning to give you a PCR test.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Not just your old bog standard, you know, lateral flow DIY job.
Not the tonsil tickling. No.
Well, still tonsil tickling and all that. But it was done by a clinician who arrived, you
fucking
know, in a proper... Fucking hell, Judith. He came in a sort of, you know... what's it called? Like a tunic, you know, an overall, a thing.
What, a white lab coat?
Well, it was a blue lab coat, but nurse. It had nurse all over it, that sort of thing. It was a gentleman my age, yes. He was very gentle. He was very gentle until he got to the nostril and he went further up than I normally do. And I said, I don't normally go that far. And he said, that's where we get the best results from. So, you know, right up the nose.
I wouldn't like it if I didn't have control of that. That would quite
scare me. Well, it was over and done with. He was very efficient and very quick. And I got the results back negative, obviously. So that was interesting that... This particular TV show
takes it
seriously because they wanted the contestants to be able to be close enough to the host.
Well, I'm really intrigued now as to what it is, but go on, yeah.
But it was you know, it meant that I could have my hair and makeup done, knowing that I wasn't putting anybody at risk and all this sort of thing. It was actually really nice just to have a few hours where you knew that you weren't... that everybody around you had similarly been tested very thoroughly.
Mm. Back to the old days, a sort of a taste of the old days, I suppose.
For a couple of hours.
You look lovely with your hair and makeup, actually. It's
just nice to have it done, you know. It's just it makes a change, get out of the house and sort of, you know, somebody who knows what they're doing kind of making you look, respectable.
Scrubbing you up.
As they say. Listen, I think we're about to get to Culture Corner.
Yes, we probably
Judith.
Are,
so you've already mentioned your male voice choir. Now we're on to film. What have you seen?
Oh, Jenny, I've been to the cinema. I've been to an actual cinema and I've seen an actual film with, oh, get this, somebody that you really quite fancy, and so do I.
Oh, he's a local boy to me. It's James Norton. You gave me the notes. I've got this in front of me.
Yes, went to James Norton's new film called Nowhere Special. Have you heard about it?
Yes, it's where he isn't. There's something wrong with him. He's got a child he's got to sort out.
Yeah, he's a single dad. I think they live in Belfast.
Yeah.
And he's got this gorgeous little boy who I think is about four. And basically he's terminally ill. And the mum...
Sounds a bit mawkish, Judy.
Well... It isn't really.
Okay,
I mean,
okay.
It isn't. And the mum, the mother kind of, you know, went back to Romania, I think, soon after the boy was born. So, he doesn't know where she is. So he's terminally ill. And so he's obviously got to kind of work out what to do with him. But what? Oh, it's a heartbreaking film. So powerful. And the connection.
I think he's a great little actor, James Norton. I really like him on screen.
And it's so.
Did you cry, Judith? Did you cry?
Yeah, I did. But Mike cried just so much. And I think...
Mike cried?
Yes, very, very unusual. But I think, I mean, I remember sort of hearing James Norton talk about it. He obviously spent a lot of time with this little boy who they found from a sort of Facebook thing, you know, with the local kind of nurseries. Obviously, no background in acting. He spent a lot of time with him. And I think so much so that I think when James Norton was filming a couple of scenes, particularly when, you know, he was reading that sort of, you know, those books that they give you to explain death to little children.
Yeah.
He was reading that. Apparently he had to keep redoing it because he was so upset. But it's not really mawkish in that he's so brave and, you know...
Is he trying to find a woman, the right woman to take this kid on?
He's trying to find a foster family and the authorities, you know, it's this kind of lovely, ordinary, sort of little loving relationship that he's got. And then he'll go and take him to meet, you know, various families who seem okay and some of them seem dreadful. But generally, people are very helpful to him and so on. And then he does eventually find somebody. I won't tell you what happens. But he finds somebody who's just... you know, just right.
Okay. But
it's great.
I'm welling up.
Film.
Okay,
really
right, that's on
film.
My list. Okay, that's that. Yes. And I am very keen to see the new Sparks movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the band, Sparks, the brothers. Mm-hmm. Apparently this movie is excellent and it's about them and it's a bit mad and I would very much like to see that. And I quite like a double bill at my local cinema of the James Norton Nowhere Special and the Sparks movie. I think that'd be... I need a very rainy day. The only thing I have watched that isn't Love Island has been Fake or Fortune. That's been the only grown-up television I've watched. I watched a bit of Olympics, but Fake or Fortune, I enjoyed.
It's good, that, isn't it? It's good.
Yes.
I like that. That's the one with, what's her name?
Fiona Bruce. She hasn't got a filling, you know. That's the interesting thing about Fiona Bruce.
She hasn't got what?
She hasn't got a filling, not a single filling.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She plays piano, hasn't got a filling. Mm. And Philip Mould, who I like. I like Philip Mould.
Don't like his cravat much, you know what I mean? But yes,
I got very fond of him when he did Art in Isolation, which was on YouTube during the pandemic.
Was it?
Yes, he's got this beautiful house, Judith. I mean, it's the kind of thing you'd like to take a telescope to. Really beautiful house with sort of... oh, just grounds, and it's ancient, and he's got this fabulous collection of art. And he just went round his house talking about the artists and the collection. Oh, just wonderful. He's got a lovely little whippet as well. It was just one of those things where you just go, oh, I'm just being really nosy, but it's kind of, it's education as well. And what else? So that's Fake or Fortune. I'm back watching Adrienne on YouTube for my yoga.
Oh, good idea.
Because, I'd watch some children doing getting some medals in the gymnastics, and I just thought, I don't mind being 60 and a bit fat. That doesn't 61 and a bit fat, and that doesn't bother me at all. But I don't like being stiff, and I felt a bit stiff recently.
Yeah,
and I will not have that. So I'm back.
I know
on
what
the
you mean, because it's a slippery slope. That is, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's why I swim. Actually, it's why I swim, because it does. Yeah, increasingly you do sort of need to kind of loosen up.
Absolutely. Because there's some days where I get out of bed and, you know, I sort of like have to get my legs moving. Do you know what I mean? Yes, I have to stamp to the bathroom to sort of get...
I haven't done that.
But yes, get the blood flowing round, you know, sort of just... Yes, and I remember my father doing that. And, of course, you know, he had to have his knees done. But that was parachuting, and I've not done much of that. So, anyway...
Tell you what Mike and I started watching is something called Your Honour, which is... It's quite new, I think, and it's, you know, Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad. You weren't really into Breaking Bad, were you? But he's written it and he stars in it, and it's on Sky, but you can get it on Amazon Prime. And we've only seen the first episode, but golly, it's amazing premise, and it sort of, I think, will be the kind of good guy, that has to, you know, that gets into crime.
Okay, I'm liking it. I'm liking it. I gave up on Baptiste, I'm afraid. I just couldn't give a shit about
it. Did you? Okay.
But then I have had my head in sort of Love Island mode for, and thank goodness it's over in 2 weeks' time, because I really got to come back to reality. I cannot live on this Love Island for the, you know, it's ridiculous.
You're a busy woman, Jenny.
I'm a busy woman. I've got to get off the island. I am suddenly really busy. It's like my pandemic break is entirely over.
Yeah.
And I've got a wall of work to face, and sometimes I just feel a bit sick. But there we go. What about books?
I tell you what I've been reading. I've been reading Vaxxers, you know, by the two women in Oxford who I was going to say invented, but yes, I suppose it is kind of really invented, the vaccine, AstraZeneca. Great book. I think I talked about it before, because I it's the sort of behind the scenes, very much their family life, how it was. And do you know what? They took on... basically this risk, you know, that they saw it coming, and they developed it, and of course they had to get the money for it and convince people, but all of that while sort of keeping their day jobs on, really, for
it's outrageous,
a while.
Isn't it? I mean you know, these
really
people
is.
they should be sort of, you know, all the wrong people have got all the money, haven't they? You know, you sort of sometimes just think, oh, well, hold on, this influencer who I've never really heard of is earning cubic amounts of money
just
spouting rubbish about sort of eyebrows or whatever,
and yet
these women are sort of flogging their guts out, doing two jobs a day to
really
try and save. And now one of them, is one of the ones that she's had been immortalised as a Barbie doll? Have you heard about this?
Actually, I haven't got to that bit yet. No, what do you mean?
No, well, it won't be in the book, because it's just a Barbie doll has come out in the sort of likeness of one of these women.
Yes, I think it'll be Sarah Gilbert.
So that's interesting. Anyway, so I'm reading, I will maybe read Vaxxers. Do you think it's good? Do you think it's well written?
I think it's a dippy into, really.
Okay.
I think it's a dippy into, but fascinating. I tell you what, I would love it. I'd love to see them. I'd love to see the film. Actually, that's what I would really like of how it happened and what they had to do. Yeah.
And did they write it, or did somebody?
Yeah, they wrote it. They do. They alternate the chapters, so it's what's going on with Sarah, and then it's what's happening with Kath. You know, she'd just gone through a divorce. She's a single mum. She can't see her children. You know, they're getting up in the middle of the night, and none of them asleep, and then there's an amazing section where they get the results of the sort of trials. It's all whisked madly quickly through, and just before she goes on air to the Today programme when it's released, I mean, literally, she's kind of reading the stats, you know, of how well it did, and bloody Today programme is kind of, you know, it's coming up in about 10 minutes. You just think, how do they deal with all this? And of course, then she's quizzed about it. I mean, it's extraordinary what they had to do. They are amazing.
Yeah, yes. And I hope they, you know, well, I hope they are lauded. I can't
remember.
Me too. Anyway, that. And my books, I'm about to finish Sorrow and Bliss by Meg Mason. I think it's a really, really good book. I've got an Agatha Christie on the back burner for bedtime listening with Jeff. My new audio downloads ready to go are Second Place by Rachel Cusk, who's a writer I hear about a great deal, always on lists, you know, lists, summer reading lists. Mm-hmm. But I've never read her. And I think probably quite... a popular book amongst our listeners. I think quite a lot of them will have read it by now. Everyone Is Still Alive by Kathy Rentzen-Brink, who is better known as a memoirist.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yes. This is her first novel, and I think that's getting very good reviews. And we are now on Letters and Problems. Well, I say letters. Nobody's actually written. Can you imagine getting a letter? A letter or a postcard? Send me a postcard from Cornwall, Judith. Emails. We got, well, there was one email from Alexa, who I fear that Alexa is turning into you, Judith.
Yes, I saw that. Now, she says, doesn't she? She fears that she might be turning into me because she's made two purchases, of which photos thereof were in the email, which was her first ever sewing machine and an e-bike. Yeah, I know.
Very smart purchases. Very nice. Very good. Very good treats. And I was wondering, you know, and considering she's just got a brand new sewing machine, whether she'd like to make me a pair of linen trousers.
In size 16.
And a size 14, because that's the size I am. And but, you know, there's always an ulterior motive with me. So I read out her email on the proviso.
In the hope.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay. Yes, now, yeah. We've got a problem as well. And I don't know whether you've had time to see this one, Judith.
Yes, I know have.
You've been a bit busy planning.
Yes, I haven't actually been busy doing anything particularly important. But, yes, we did. We had
Anonymous writer.
Anonymous email from a woman
anonymous.
Who's got a daughter, 18-year-old daughter, and she had a boyfriend. And unfortunately, she fell into the trap, which we've all done, haven't we, whereby she said kind of what she thought about the...
After they split up. Her 18-year-old had a boyfriend, they split up, and the mum fell into the trap, as you say, Judith, and slagged the boyfriend off. Then what happened?
Yeah, what happened? Well, you can guess what happened, Nick, can you? They're back together, aren't they? They're only gone back together, yes, which leaves her in this very tricky dilemma, doesn't it? And I can see we've all been there, haven't we, really? Well, maybe not exactly like that, but it is really a problem. Do you tell them or don't you? And really, you shouldn't. But it's really hard not to, isn't it?
Well, it's like when girlfriends, you know, in the past say, oh, you know, he's a shit, I hate him. And again, you fall into that trap. And it's usually sort of when you're in the pub going, I never liked him. And I never thought he was good enough for you. Oh, hold on. What's that? You're getting married. Ah, okay, great. No, that's fine. No, I think he's actually, I got the wrong one. I was talking about the one he went out with 3 years ago. What was that? Blah, 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 blah. And this is, I don't think all she can do is be totally honest with her daughter and say, listen, I say these things out of a sort of gut reaction because I thought he had hurt you and upset you, and I will never be able to stand that. So I'll always be on your side first. But I might have been a bit judgmental. You know, I'm happy to have him in the house. Have him in the house. Then you can keep your eye on him, see if you're right all along. And if he is, turns out to be, you just have to say, you know, a mother's suspicion is that if he's a rotter, you know, I am going to lash out. Because I can't bear to see my girl get hurt.
I know, and that really is a dilemma, isn't it? If you can see something that perhaps they can't see, or you think you can, then you kind of have to, don't you? You have to say something. It depends how serious it is, but... It is tricky.
Yeah, and of course the men never join in. I don't think Jeff ever said it.
Oh, I know.
They just go totally silent. They don't say anything.
They stand at the back. They hold back. It's exactly what Mike's always done.
Fade into the background. Yeah. You know, I have had some experience of not liking P's boyfriends. Not many, actually, but I know at least one of hers couldn't actually stand my guts. So it does work both ways. I think all of us mothers have to realise that actually... Yeah. For every bit of poison we're dropping into their ears, you know, going, well, he's a bit, what's he actually do? I've never actually seen him do any. What's he passionate about? What's he, you know, for all that, you know, they are also saying to your daughter, your mum's a bit of a bitch, isn't she?
Well, I tell you why, because where you just said those two questions, I recognise myself in that so much. Because what we do, I think what I do is I ask open questions just like that. Yes, what is it that you're actually interested in? You know, the subtexts are so obvious. They might as well be lit up in lights. Exactly. Where are you going? What are your prospects? What actually are you doing with your life?
Yeah.
I know, it's so obvious, isn't it? I know, we're not very subtle, really.
You know, it's such a minefield, isn't it? All we want is, you know, our children to be happy and cared for and loved. Exactly. And anyway, I've got to do some other things now, Judith.
Yes, you have. And we're off next week because Daisy's taking a well-deserved holiday. Is she not? Yeah, she is.
And she needs it. She, you know, because God in heaven, she has us whittering in her ears. And she has to edit this. I mean, we only have to do it once. God. And then she has to listen to it.
I know. Can you
again? And then take out the, you know, if we said anything truly appalling or libelous or whatever. So anyway, best of luck with the edit, Daisy. Have a fabulous holiday next week. We will miss you, but we'll, you know, we'll look forward to coming back. And Judith, enjoy your aquarium trip.
Thank you. I shall send some photos.
Are you walking? Are you walking or is it? Are you actually getting the car out?
Well, we were going to go on the ferry because, you know, you can get the ferry over, but it's too choppy. I had to look out just a minute ago and there was a lifeboat going out. It was airborne. It was so I don't think I should be going on a boat. And I don't think they're running anyway. So you've got to drive.
OK, anyway, well, enjoy. All right.
And you. Well, look after yourself. Daisy,
And I'll speak soon. And everybody, we will regather, not next week, but the week after.
Yeah, lots of love. Okay.
Lots of love. Bye-bye.